Good morning, this is Sunday the 25th of October 2020. And I want to do something different this morning. I'm not going to go by the readings as they were in the church this morning. I want to actually preach on something else. And last night the clocks changed in the sense that the clocks went back an hour and we gained an extra hour because of the time of the year coming into the winter. And as so often, whenever that happens, we try, or I think most of us try and gain or do something different, or maybe stay up later, or are able to watch something, or whatever. You know, maybe you're different from me, I don't know. But it was strange last night because I actually got tired and I thought, I'm going to lose all this because I'm just going to go to bed and sleep. And I did go to bed, but not as early as I should have. But I found myself waking up in the middle of the night. And I wrote a piece. I wrote a devotional, which actually is on the website. And it's called The Apple of His Eye. And I want to just talk about that this morning. I want to preach on that. I feel that's where the Lord would have me to go. And in ways, it may be a repeat of what I've written. But I just feel that it's what God wants me to talk about. And I suppose perhaps because some people like to read and other people like to listen. And so I just pray that this will bless you as it has blessed me. Because I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I immediately thought, Lord, you know, you normally talk to me in the middle of the night and there's things I know that you've said to me before. What is it that you want to say to me? And as I said that, and actually it's not just as I said that, I was reading a text that I'd received from somebody else. And I was just asking the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And as soon as I said it, this phrase came into my heart and it was the apple of my eye. And of course I went on the internet because I was pretty sure that that's in the Bible. I wasn't exactly sure, but I wanted to go and search. But when I did a search on Google, the first thing that came up was about a song which is called The Apple of the Eye, or The Apple of My Eye. And I read a bit in Wikipedia. And very much what it was attributing the phrase to was to sometime in English, in England, the English language. And that really just trying to say this was a worldly thing. And then I got to look and I added on to the end of the apple of the eye was Bible verses. And it revealed to me there were 4 Bible verses. And I want to refer to those 4 Bible verses. The first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I wrote about verses 9 to 13. But it's actually in verse 10. And what it says is, he encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And the his is a capital H, so it's talking about God. And that God's talking about a man is actually talking about Jacob and telling him that he is the apple of his eye. God was talking about a man, or God was talking about a nation, perhaps even the nation of Israel. And he considered them to be the apple of his eye. And this phrase, the apple of the eye, is talking about a precious thing, because that's the way it describes it in Wikipedia. Let me just quote, according to Wikipedia, the phrase apple of my eye refers in English today to something or someone that one cherishes above all others. And it just brightened my heart to think that God, Almighty God, looks at me and thinks of me as being the apple of his eye. And I couldn't do anything other than respond by going, wow. Because that's what it feels like in me. My heart jumps up and down. I just get dizzy thinking that Almighty God looks at me and thinks of me as being the apple of his eye. Now that's the way that I'm talking about that now. But at 3 o'clock this morning, it probably wasn't exactly how I was thinking. Because to be honest, for me, there's so often I have struggled to see God being pleased with me. There's a phrase I've used, and I've used it many times, where I've said that God doesn't love you because you're lovely, but God loves you because he is love. And there's a truth in that. And the truth is that he is love. But there's also an error in that, because it gives the impression that God doesn't actually love us for us. And I know that many, many people believe that, because I believe that. I used to believe that. God couldn't possibly love me. God couldn't possibly love me. And part of it was, for many years, is because I didn't love me. And I know from talking to people that there's many people feel the same thing about themselves. They have a bad view of themselves. And sometimes that bad view has come about because the way that they've been treated in life, the way that they've been treated by people, could be parents, could be siblings, could be incidences that happened in school. But usually it's something from early childhood, either because the way that they were treated or something that was said to them. Or maybe for those who've been bullied, people who've been picked on. And so their self-esteem is low because they think they must be a failure. They think that there's something wrong with them. And they get this impression of, how could anybody love me? What's attractive in me? And I want to address that this morning, because I believe God wants to speak into that. Because that is a wrong view. You see, this first passage is from Deuteronomy. And I'm taking these four passages in order as they come in the Bible. So Deuteronomy 32, as it says, talks about he encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. And it goes on, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him. And I like that picture of the eagle, because eagles appear throughout the Bible. We have in Isaiah about the eagle, where it talks about those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we have the picture as well about feathers, just as it says there, feathers and wings. We had this morning Psalm 91. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wing. And so God uses these pictures, these analogies. And again, as I spoke in the church today, there's so often in Scripture pictures are used. It's visualization. It's not literal. You know, God is not an eagle. God does not have feathers. But he uses the analogy of a bird, of an eagle, of a hen, of a mother hen spreading out her wings to protect her chicks. And in a similar way, those of us who are called of God or Christian are those same chicks in the eyes of God that he spreads his wings over us to protect us. Why? Because as the mother hen loves her chicks, Almighty God loves you and me. Almighty God loves us and wants to protect us. He is for us. He is not against us. He wants only good things for us. He doesn't want bad. That is the way that he is. And so we have this picture of God and what he's doing and how he works for us and not against us. And so this picture of the eagle. Well, then the next passage that goes on is in Psalm 17, and 17 verse 7 and verse 8. And it says this: O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings. And there again, it's talking about wings. Protect me, hide me under the shadow of your wings. There are people who are going to come against me, but Lord, hide me under the shadow of your wings. Why? Because I am the apple of your eye. I am the apple of your eye. Brilliant. And then it goes on in the next passage, which is in Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says this: For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. And that's talking, it's talking prophetically about what Jesus will do, because he protects those who are the apple of his eye. Are the apples of his eye. And I've just realized that I've actually skipped over and I missed out the third one. And the third one is in Proverbs 7 verses 1 to 4. So let me read that. It says this: My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. And maybe it's better that I've actually made this mistake, because the way that that is written is different from the other three, hasn't it? It's different from Deuteronomy, it's different from Psalm, and it's different from Zechariah, because all three of those, Deuteronomy, Psalm, and Zechariah, are talking about a person. But here in Proverbs, it's talking about the Word of God, it's talking about the law, it's talking about commandments. It's talking about how important it is to follow God and to obey him, to do what he has given. And he says, and my law as the apple of your eye. In other words, it's important. It's important. It is precious. It is special. But the point of what God was saying to me was that just in the similar way that we obey him and we follow his laws and his commands, that is how important he sees us. That is how important he sees you and me. For he considers us to be the apple of his eye. He considers us to be the apple of his eye. And why is that? Well, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 talks about how God created everything for his pleasure. He created, and we think of, like, especially me standing here in Fermanagh looking out on the fields and looking out on the trees and the lake. We consider all of those things as being what God created. Those are the things that he made for his pleasure. So that we know the story of Adam and Eve in the garden as they walked through the garden in the cool of the day. And the Lord God walked with them and enjoyed his creation. But you see, the thing is, Adam and Eve that God walked with in the garden were also part of his creation. We human beings, men and women, boys and girls, are also part of God's creation. It's not just the nature that's his creation, as in the physical things that we look at, but man and woman, men and women, are also part of his creation. And we were made for his pleasure. But he goes one step further through these scriptures and describes us as being the apple of his eye. You see, we know the story of creation in Genesis chapter 1. about how God made everything in each day. He commented and he looked at and he said, and it was all good, because God did not make anything bad. God did not make anything bad. He only made good things. He only made good things. And we, when we were made, when we were created, we were made good. And we're considered as the apple of his eye. So I want to read the conclusion of what I wrote and let these words penetrate your heart. Well, actually, let me go back a bit just before that. God only created anything that was good. And we read about it in Genesis chapter 1 in the story of creation. So when Jesus died upon the cross, he did so not just because he is love, but because we were worth dying for. As his creation, we were worth dying for. The apple of his eye was worth paying the price of his death. Definitely worth dying for. And that view, that phrase, changes everything. Why? Because Almighty God loves me. My Father, Abba Father. That's what Jesus talks about. And we prayed. I prayed in the church today along with the words of the Lord's Prayer. And just explaining slightly what it means. Our Father. He is my Father. He is close and personal and intimate. He is special to me. He, in a very real way, is the apple of my eye, as I am the apple of his. My Father, my Abba, my Daddy God loves me. Wow. Jesus, his Son, my brother, died for me. Because he loves me. The Holy Spirit indwells me, empowers me, clothes me in his love. And I now can see that. You know, for so much of my life and even of my Christian life, because of this wrong view that I've had, because of this wrong way of looking at myself, and I know that I'm speaking for other people when I say this, is that yes, God may love me because he's love, but struggle to see that love in me. And yet, even as a Christian and I accepted him, people would talk about seeing the love of God in my life and through my life, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. Because I was blinkered, I was so focused just looking at myself. But God's been setting me free as he wants to set everybody free. He wants to set you free to be able to see him. And when you can see him and perceive and receive his love, you realize, yes, I can see the love of God in my life. I can see him in me and through me. I know the changes that he's made in my life, in the way that I preach, in the way that I write, in the way that I talk. And I just praise him. And I want to encourage you that what he's done for me, he can and will do for you. Why? Because you're the apple of his eye. Because he loves you. For God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is love. And the thing is, the English in that sounds wrong, because I can hear the teachers going, no. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are love, because there's three of them. But I've written that on purpose, and I believe God had me to write that on purpose in that way, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is love. Because at the end of the day, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the Trinity. There's only one God, but there's three persons. Sometimes we see him as the Father, our Father who art in heaven. But sometimes he reveals himself as the Son Jesus Christ who died for us, who's a friend closer than a brother. And sometimes he reveals himself to us as being the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who lives within us, who enables us to be able to talk like this about him. And yet, he's just the one God, for there only is one God. And because I get this revelation, then I can say, I am the apple of his eye. I am a treasured possession. I am of great value. And I am of much worth. And yes, I've been talking about me, Alan Capper. But when I've been talking about me, and you're hearing it, say that about yourself. You are the apple of his eye. You are a treasured possession. You are of great value. And you are of much worth. You can be blessed in hearing me say that to you, if you'll receive it. But take my word for it that you will receive it so much more if you can take it and say it for yourself. So I want to close just by saying it. Again, it's going to sound like it's coming from me or for me. But please put yourself in the same situation. And even in a sense, if you want to, say this after me. I am the apple of his eye. I am a treasured possession. I am of great value. I am of much worth. Almighty God loves me. Amen.